Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners, Stephen Lucan and Tony Payne. Good to see you guys.
Nice to see you, Jay.
We're back at it.
Yep.
We're having fun.
This is a good time. I'm actually really excited about this topic. I've already gone through it. I've had kids that have gone through it, but I know there are a lot of people out there that are interested and will learn a lot from it. Life after graduation. If you've got college kids or college people or you're in college, this is the podcast for you today. We're going to pick Tony and Stephen's brains here and get you some good information on what to do next, because it can be a little overwhelming. Going from classes and parties and just sort of a more, I think, relaxed environment to a structured work environment.
Going
trying
from
to find
the
a
library.
Job. Yeah, yes, right. Yes, trying yes. to find, trying to find out who you are, who you want to be the rest of your life can be really stressful. You've got your parents in one ear, your advisors in the other ear, and your friends are all over social media and they're making it and they're doing their thing. And you're sitting there going, what's next for me? So hopefully this will give you some help.
Now you're in the deep end of the pool.
Yes.
Right. You're swimming in the deep end.
Yeah.
Right. Welcome to adulthood.
It's scary.
Yeah.
And you can feel pretty, I felt competitive.
I was never scared. I actually enjoyed it. I was like, I'm on my own.
You were ready,
right. I'm ready.
That part, right? I can dig that.
I was my income, but this is what we're going to talk about.
The independence was
the full
exciting.
Cycle here, because we've done it. I mean, the idea of coming out, seeing it, being there, and then now being in the position to look back a little bit and say, what could I have done different? You know, that'll be a theme here I keep bringing up, though. But you think about those things that, you know, in your own life, when you go, all right, looking back over 20 years or so when I was out of college, what are some of the mistakes made or things we could do different? That's what we're going to talk about too.
Do we have enough time for that?
No, it could take days. Yeah,
and we're all petri dishes, so you tend to feel like you're the only one going through something. So, from that perspective, hopefully we can give people some good tips. Mm-hmm. So, I want to talk about transitioning from campus to career specifically, and how to navigate that shift. What's the biggest shock do you think somebody feels when they go from college freedom to a 9-to-5?
You want to go first?
Sure.
Go for it.
This time I will. Next time you will.
Okay.
Okay. When we think about the biggest shift, you know, going from the, as you said, campus, college life to I've got bills to pay. It's that first, if you're living outside the home, it's that first of the month rent due or that property tax bill. If you bought a house or have a house, these are the things that, you know what, I can't just put the alarm on snooze and go back to it. No, I've got to make sure that rent money is there, or that money's there. And I think that's a big shift of responsibility. Maybe not scary, hopefully, but at the same time, responsibility.
That's if you have a job lined up.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Yeah, you hope that's the case. Yeah. And that was the exact
that's
word.
That's a good point.
That was the exact word that went into my head was responsibility. Right, you have to put the big boy pants on and ready to go. Right, you have work, but you have income, but you have the expenses. And that's the foundation for the rest of your life until you no longer have an income.
It's crazy, too, because the marketing, at least from my perspective, I feel like the marketing is just splashed all over the place where it's targeting people of younger ages, the credit card companies and the loan companies, to live their best life and putting pressure on them to kind of buy into that. So having a job and then feeling the need to sort of jump in headfirst and engage in all the experiences at the same time has got to be a real experience in somebody's mind right out of the gate.
It really is. And to where do you start? Like, is it, avoid the checklist, right? You're going to hear it from the adults on here's what you have to do next.
Mm-hmm.
I advise against that. Build your own plan. Because
give me an example though.
Well, it's hard for me to give an example because so much has changed since I was in that position. We're going back 30 years.
Yeah.
Right? Just the cost of living, cost of everything is a little different than when I went through it. It's a lot of it is the same, but you're going to hear from people to say, oh, you shouldn't rent, you should buy. You shouldn't lease, you should buy a car, right? You're going to have so many different people in your ear on how, because they did it a certain way.
Yeah.
So you have to understand your situation before you make a decision and not use that as an education, their experience, but don't use it as gospel,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Usually our money imprints, those things we learned, and with good intention are the ones we want to pass along. And something like interest. You gave some great examples, so I'll give another one. The idea of pay off your debt quicker. You're in debt. You got to pay that off. Well, it might depend. Depends on your debt. What are your goals? Are you saving along the way? you know, sometimes those early years of saving rather than accelerating a debt payment that, you know what, it might not have been a terrible rate. It might have stuck around anyway. But if you could have made those first year's 401k contributions with a match, that compounding growth over 40 years might have well exceeded the interest on that loan you might have been trying to pay off early. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, again, part of that. Someone may be in your ear, just yourself knowing what, hey, I know I should not be paying interest. That seems right. But then you have to develop your plan around that.
Talk about salaries. $100,000 right out of the gate is often promised from some of these schools, even the big schools. And, you know.
Yeah, she said by the school, not the employer.
By the school. Yeah. So setting a realistic expectation, I think, if this is from the layperson, as I'm approaching graduation, what do I need to live on? You know, once I leave these doors, am I living at home? Am I going to rent an apartment? I guess the list needs to kind of include what do I want to do? What do I want beyond, you know, getting my diploma? Where do I want to start? And then only then, how does somebody kind of decide how much they need to live on, which then dictates the salary that they need to shoot for?
Well, he's got to go.
Doesn't always
happen.
Well,
no, you can't say I want to shoot for a salary. You got to shoot for a job, an opportunity, and where does that opportunity take you for growth perspective? But for the here and now, you've got to build a budget. You've got to say, okay, how much am I going to spend on rent? Am I going to have a roommate or not have a roommate? The industry, it's all about the industry you go into. Right? The industry I went into, which was hospitality management, wasn't making much of anything, but I had four roommates. I had the smallest room in the basement and I paid the least amount of rent. I made it work for me, for my situation. My other roommates made two to three times as much as I did, but that was part of it. I had to build something for what I had. So build around what your income is and you have to make those decisions, right? And maybe you can't live by yourself. You'd like to. You have your needs, wants, and wishes.
Right.
Take care of your needs, filter your wants. The wishes have to remain wishes.
Yeah, if you're able to, and perhaps you're one of those boomerang kids that's able to get back in the house and save and maybe work along the way,
right. Hopefully.
I mean, we are basing this on the premise that you found a job, that you're working your way up. And again, that I say working your way up because there may not be your ideal job opening, but along the way to be making money, the ability to say, I can advance. I could say, I'm done with this job. I'll put in my time. I'll go somewhere else. You could always do that. But the idea of just waiting around maybe and sitting, that's what we'd want to avoid. And I know being able to work your way up is where if you're able to come back home and start saving and work your way up, maybe on a smaller job than that desired or promised salary right away, well, now you're going to build your cash reserve up. And that's one of the steps we'll talk through in a financial plan that once you've got an adequate cash reserve, you're really buying yourself a lot of flexibility.
So let's explain what cash reserve. I want to get into my next topic, let's stop for a second because to us, we know what that means. But to somebody who has no knowledge of the financial industry, what does that look like for somebody out of college?
Yeah, it's an emergency fund. Imagine if you lose your job. How will you pay rent or how will you pay the expenses you're responsible for? And that cash reserve is there for an emergency. It's not a vacation fund. It's not a fund to say, oh, now I have some money. I can go spend it. It's there for the emergency. And you have to envision the worst case scenario. You lose your income. And then how long will that last? And then some people say you need 6 months or 12 months. It really depends. It's a comfort zone thing, but you need something in place for a few months to just make sure you cover your expenses, your responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. And I would also avoid trying to use a credit card for that or debt for that or relying on something else.
That's where the marketing is pushing.
You have that cold, hard cash. And again, it's not about, oh, I'm missing out on a return or something like that. That's usually the next piece. Is it better to invest that money? Well, it's not that you're doing one or the other. It's that you have to have a reserve in conjunction usually with investing. Because again, you don't want to have to liquidate investments, pay taxes, any of that stuff when times are bad. You want to be able to get to your money right away. And that's the idea of maybe having that boring savings account that isn't paying you a lot.
Mm-hmm. Are there other pots that somebody, a younger person, needs to think about besides the emergency cash flow?
First thing is always start to learn to pay yourself first. By that, I mean save for retirement, save for the future years.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes.
Every time I have a conversation with somebody in the outside world about that, I grew up hearing that. Mm-hmm. But everybody's interpretation of that, and everybody gets so incensed when you bring that up. Well, what does that mean? Well, how much does that mean? What am I supposed to put away? So let's give them an idea. Is it subjective, or is it 10%? Yeah, right.
What we heard was always 20%. And but you take that, and that's a hard number to hit for a lot of people these days. So, but start with something. With the 401k or 403b, if your company offers that, the retirement plan, there's a matching component where they'll match 100% of the first 4%, first 5%, whatever that number is. It varies by employer and by benefits. Match that. Just start with that match 100% to learn to pay yourself first. The first invoice of the month is your savings. And everyone's good with paying invoices. They should be. And just go that route. Learn to pay yourself first, and you'll start to grow in that manner.
Yeah. The other point too, when you think about the timeline of things, you know, and you said it, it's like a checklist for some people, and you want to avoid that approach. You think about, where am I at? And ideally, in a perfect world, when you've graduated, maybe you have that employer lined up, you have that employment agreement lined up. That's your chance to start almost shopping around employers to say, what are the benefits packages? One of the things you meant, you know, hopefully there's a 401k match. Maybe there's not even a 401k though. And each employer is going to offer different things. So part of your overall compensation, and we'll get into this in another show, but the idea of, what are all my benefits? Make sure that you've looked at that, you're taking advantage of those.
Yeah.
There's some conversation that says salary takes a backseat to the benefit package at times. What are your interpretation of that sentence?
It could, if it's a gold standard in benefits package, mm-hmm. which we have many different episodes where we're going to talk about the mm-hmm. benefits package, life insurance, disability insurance, retirement.
Because you're paying
savings.
Out of pocket. Younger people don't realize you're paying out of your paycheck. That's going towards.
Well, sometimes the employer takes care of a lot of it mm-hmm. too. That's the benefits aspect, right? And some of those career and employers will provide better benefits than others. Mm-hmm. And that it is not about necessarily the paycheck, but those add value as well.
So if you can pay your bills on the paycheck and make sure you have good benefits, so you're not paying out of pocket for the
Correct.
Benefits, you've got the sweet spot.
Yes.
When somebody sees their first paycheck, how do you think it makes them feel to see half of their money disappear? And, just, you know, do you remember that?
Angry?
I remember.
I mean, the idea of, you know what, we just either borrowed all this money for school, or we paid all this money out, and I did this for what again? I mean, it's common. You see that. It's your first paycheck. And especially if you've opted into the things we're talking about, you're paying yourself first with a 401k or 403b. Maybe you've opted into a health savings account. You know, you're saving in your savings account. You know, by the end of the day, you look at it and you go, I'm getting $2. What am I doing? You know, that's the idea, though, of remember why you're doing it. Remember all these other things you set up, because otherwise you might be angry, questioning, you know, am I really doing this the right way? And sometimes that feeling of shorting yourself is a sign you're doing it the right way.
And pay yourself first is a subjective term. Some people interpret pay yourself first as, I'm going to go buy some shoes. Pay yourself first means just put some savings aside.
Who says right? that?
Right. Well, I won't name any names, but
I'm
kidding. No, but
you're right, though.
I'm not
to say it is it an investment in yourself or someone else?
Yeah.
Or, you know, even the family experiences. You know, we hear that. We know it. Some of those kids, you're going to have 18 years, then they're out of the house, and we're talking about this, what they do when they're out. So those 18 years you have. And it really does relate to the young graduate, too, of, mm-hmm. you know what, the decisions you make, where you live, what kind of car you drive. Once you've committed to those big payments or signed up for that, you're building your lifestyle sometimes around the rest of that. So when we're talking about pay yourself first, hopefully you're doing it before you've got that car loan or that home loan or you've signed up for rent. You know, if you're able to pay yourself first and then deal with what's left, that's the kind of lifestyle I think mm-hmm. we're talking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And if you can make it, understand it's a percentage of your paycheck for that payment, keep that percentage the same. So if your income grows and I'm saving 10%, 15%, whatever that number is, as your income grows, your savings will grow,
mm-hmm.
right? Because your income is going to drive your lifestyle, and your income is going to drive your decisions around that lifestyle of what kind of shoes are you going to wear, what brand. And how many pairs of shoes? And those are the decisions where you can get into trouble.
So many pairs of shoes.
Yes.
All right. Student loan repayments. This is a big conversation that people have in the college pre and post. What is the first thing somebody should consider as they're stepping foot into the job world when they've got student loan.
That's all part of it. That's a required payment. Mm-hmm. And that's a part. So you use the word budget. I hate that word budget because it's hypothetical. So go look at last month's expenses and audit them. You're going to have to build a spreadsheet, build any tool that you have at your disposal to see where your money goes, which will include the student loan payments. Mm-hmm. So you have to build around reality and avoid the leakage, the stuff that the cup of coffee, the $5 coffee, do you really need it or can you carve it out? Multiply that by 7 times a week. It adds up quickly. You may have to cut that out.
Yeah.
Right.
Those caramel macchiatos add up. That's
yes,
sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Just try to avoid that. But the student loan's got to be a part of that payment process, the budgeting process.
And yeah, I'll kind of go back to challenge yourself on, is it a race to pay it off? Are there going to be balloons and confetti that fall down when you pay it off? There usually isn't, not to my knowledge. But the idea of how much interest am I paying? Would this be better used somewhere else? You know, again, be critical. I'm not saying don't pay it off or accelerate that. But at the same time, there's usually that race to say student loan bad. Well, usually you did that as an investment in your career. You've got the next 20 years sometimes to pay that thing off. And I hear a lot, usually from parents, where they're so worried about that burden of student loans where they're not really talking to the child about what are you going to study? Mm-hmm. What's your job field? What do they pay in that? That to me is the missing part of this discussion rather than, oh, student loan bad. Mm-hmm. Because if we're really making that investment in our education, well, then that first career, that first job, I think about living in a high cost of living area. You know, maybe you're on the coast somewhere, you work for one of those fun, exciting companies, and the idea of your first rent is several $1,000s. And you're looking at that going, I'm throwing this away. I need to buy a house. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, challenge yourself. Go back to the basics of what do I need?
That's the other thing. I would the only advice I would give to people is avoid the anchors. So make yourself nimble where you can jump job to job. If you see a better opportunity for yourself, you can do that. And anchors are the rent or is the rent, or if you own a house, right? Then you're stuck in that location. So your flexibility, where living at home for a little bit might not be a bad decision, because then you're open. You can go wherever. So it also, that's your dreams and aspirations. Are you stuck from where you grew up or where you went to school, or sky's the limit? You can go to any city, any location for whatever opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, good point. Did you want to say something?
Oh, sure. Just adding on to the idea of, you were right, Stephen, on let's trace what our expenses have been, but I'm thinking it through. If I was that new graduate in that new job, I might not have built my pattern yet. So in a perfect world, buy that older used car, don't buy new usually. Mm-hmm. You know, in a perfect world, don't have a lot of debt out there. Don't carry things on the credit card. And when you look at housing, if you're going to live outside the home, let's say the family home, you want to get out on your own, make sure that you're paying yourself first. And we just went through that. Are you able to make your retirement contribution? Are you able to pay all your debts back into your rent payment? Don't just go looking for a great place and then build your life around it. The same with the vehicle. I mean, other things too. And once you've done that, then the next bonus is really an extra.
And that's what we mean by pay yourself first. That's the first line item expense. If you go top down, mm-hmm. the first line item expense is your savings. Mm-hmm. And then I remember a conversation I had with someone going through that exercise, and they told me, well, if I do that, I have nothing left at the end of the day.
You hear that
I'm like,
a lot.
That's a problem, mm-hmm. right? So I don't have enough money in my income to pay for the savings if I put savings first.
Yeah.
Right. So that means there was a spending problem, not a savings problem.
And then we talk about how money is so psychological and emotional, which is logical when you think about it, but nobody teaches that. So it's really good to be self-aware as to why you have habits the way you do. Mm-hmm. If you grew up in a white-collar environment where money was not a problem, you're probably going to lean into that inclination.
Right.
So you got to be self-aware.
Those are usually the most stark adjustments too. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about that child that may have grown up in a wonderful neighborhood, wonderful home, was able to have that travel sports life and all that, and then go through an out-of-state university, maybe never worked the whole time, and now they're in that first job and mom and dad are looking over their shoulder going, they can't afford any of it. They can't afford, well, again, the idea of everyone starts somewhere. and for them to learn those money lessons early. And I would say almost make some mistakes early.
Yep.
And this is for the parents out there as well as the graduate, but let them make some mistakes. You know, learn some, the best lessons are usually the hard ones.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Experience
point.
Is your best teacher.
Yeah. Great.
My
point.
Dad's favorite sayings.
It's a great segue into establishing credit and financial independence. I mean, the first thing, I think a lot of these college students get hit at the college, at some of the campus events. The credit card companies want to come in and give you free stuff to open a credit card. You got to be really careful with that.
You do.
Especially if you're an emotional spender. So
I got a great t-shirt though.
Yeah, right? Is it worth it?
Oh, yeah.
Is it worth the $90 a year?
Probably right. A few $100 t-shirt with all the interest paid, right?
So if somebody's never had a credit card before, what would you suggest they do to start using credit without falling into debt trouble?
It's almost, in the old days, there was this thing called cash. Right. I don't know if the kids know this anymore, but there was cash.
Everybody's rolling right? their eyes
and,
at you right, right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I used to use the envelope method where I would pay cash for everything. I would have an envelope for the week and pay cash. What you can do today is you have multiple accounts, right? And you have your general savings account. And anytime you run up a credit card charge, slide that money over into the other account. Say I spent $200 on something, slide the $200 over into that other account so it's there to make the credit card payment at the end of the month.
So
otherwise, don't do it.
So you're suggesting people literally at the end of the day, look at what they've done, address what they've done.
Yes.
And that probably sets up a good discipline.
Yeah.
No, I was just over time, you won't probably do that. But the idea of you've got to know where you were. I mean, again, the idea of making it a daily burden, then you give it up. But if you're doing it quarterly, then you stay on it. So everyone's different. But
and it's kind of like the old check register. The mm-hmm. students don't know what that is now.
Right,
but when we had a checkbook, you had a register and you would write the
balances,
the
running
balance.
See, that was even before I ignored it. I wasn't good at keeping up with it.
Yeah.
That's why I preferred cash.
Yeah.
Right. Which is better, safer.
Probably
right?
created better discipline for you.
Yeah.
The other side too with the credit cards, and again, this is the challenge those voices sometimes in your ear is to not have them mm-hmm. or to not use them. I mean, sometimes it's a mistake to not build credit early on because we know it's that oldest line of credit that'll help your credit score over time. So if you're always avoiding opening those lines of credit or having things over time, you actually might have a bad credit score, a lower credit score. It's kind of funny. Those people who always pay off their debts who might have several $1 million of nice net worth, they might have a very weak or limited credit score because they don't have the history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad got rejected for a credit card once. He couldn't figure out why. Like, you're the worst customer. You have no debt.
I don't have that problem. I've never had that problem.
Right. Thanks to my college days, I don't have that problem either.
Yeah. All good. All right, networking and career growth. So how does somebody turn their college contacts into real career opportunities without feeling awkward? I mean, this is kind of not really a financial question, but it's certainly—
Great question, right?
Does,
networking is critical.
It's really important.
Critical.
Right?
Yeah, it is. It's about just never burn bridges, mm-hmm. always be networking. You never know, even within your own workplace, just knowing people, going to association groups, just being out there, even social gatherings, just what do? Let people know what you do because it'll open up doors you never thought could be possible.
Yeah, it is that energy. And I know you help us with it. I mean, going to college career fairs, going out there talking to students and vice versa for you to be attending the career fairs or finding out sometimes through an internship or through learning early on. Maybe it's, again, a part-time position, but is this something I want to do? You know, you think about somebody who's in the medical field and they see that first patient come in as a child or something and go, that's not for me. And there's no better time to learn that or no, this isn't the field for me than early on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd hate to be stuck with a mortgage, with a car payment, maybe having to help kids with daycare. And now you're in this career path you really hate because you're locked in.
That was the anchors I was talking about, right?
Yeah.
And it's not a total negative, but those are things where it sort of force you into a certain area.
Yeah.
Because you need that income then. Once you're... You got those obligations, right?
That's
you're locked in.
That's true for anybody in life.
It is, but that's where the cash reserve can come into play, right? And you have a large enough cash reserve, you can do a career change.
Mm-hmm.
I know that from experience.
Yeah.
I was able to do a career change, but it was a lot of sacrifice on what I was used to. I took a step back and said I restarted, but it was one of the best things I ever did.
Yeah, you just hit a nerve with me. I think that's a big part of it. Some of this is not financial. Some of it's interpersonal. It's your coping skills, your willingness to show grace and not burn bridges. Mm-hmm. That really hit me when you said that. Because the world is a small place. Yeah. And the older you get, the smaller it gets. So, you know, making great contacts, building relationships, being positive, you know, coming from a place of yes is really going to get you further than the negative.
That's the other good one, right? Can you do this? The answer is always yes.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
Right. Behind the scenes,
right? Go behind closed doors.
I'll figure it out somehow. That's what you're saying. But the answer is always yes. And you'll be surprised.
Right.
Can you be an assistant manager? Can you go to a manager?
Right.
Yes, I can do it.
Right.
And you'd be surprised, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to have some confidence in yourself too.
Right. Yep. So what do you think the classic money, as we close, what's the classic money mistake that you think would be at the top of the list for a college person?
I would start with that leakage we talked about and the where the money gets subscriptions.
Yeah.
The online, by subscriptions, not magazines anymore, right? It's all that online stuff. Whether it's a PlayStation account or Netflix or, you know, you can name it. There's 10 to 15, 20 subscriptions a month for a lot of people. I threw that question out to someone, a group of people, and said, how many subscription services do you think you have? And they came back 6, 7, 8, 9. And I thought it was around, mine was around 9, and it was ended up being 15 when I added them all together. So that stuff can get really hairy for you. So watch the daily spending.
Especially if you're using a credit card.
Right. Watch the daily spending, whether it's a coffee or a beer or a drink after work, whatever it might be, those that can add up quickly.
What about you, Tony?
Definitely look at your employer. I mean, again, if that's your starting point and that's where everything else is based around, your income is the engine for the rest of your financial life. Make sure you're saddling up with something you can rely on. And if not, hey, is this an opportunity? You know, sometimes people go into government or other areas, not for the money, but maybe for the opportunity to work with tools that, you know, no one else has or experiences that they wouldn't get anywhere else. And they take a pay cut initially, or that's where they start. It's not even a pay cut. It's where you started.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of just being aware of that, there's pros and cons, make those decisions and then go from there. Yeah.
All right. Some good tips from some experts, and we're all Petri dishes. So stay positive, stay focused, and kill it. That's it for today. Thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to share with your friends.
Media. Think big.